You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
So are we on?
Well, boy, that was sneaky.
So yes, it was sneaky.
I was just telling Vince Rosino, CPA, and this is Joe Martech, by the way, that this is going to be a little bit different of a show because, number one, they're supposed to be raising money to support this station. Number two, everybody that listens out there, I'm sure by now, knows that Tom Creighton, Pastor Tom, had quadruple bypass surgery. Then after that, a week or so later, he had another heart attack. And then after that, a week or so later, his son got killed. So he's just had, to put it mildly, not the best month.
No.
So normally he'd be here, but to put it mildly again, this man has had not only major physical trauma, but emotional, you name it, and his body has just really, really had it. But we do have the exuberant, absolutely jumping
exuberant,
up and down.
That is a 50-cent word.
Well, look who's just showed up. A retired prosecuting attorney sitting over here helping us raise money for this station.
Hey, it's a wonderful thing.
Which is a wonderful thing.
Hey, Dan Warren.
Prosecuting attorney. Well, anyway, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, just walked in. So three members of our six-person team happen to be here now. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martech, financial advisor. We also have, who is not here, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and Greg Fasula, attorney. Dan, you probably don't know, but we're not even supposed to be on the air this week because this is their raising money weeks.
Well, that's an important thing to do here, John.
Yes, it is. So what we're going to do is kind of fill in a little bit here for Pastor Tom to know him how important this radio station is to us. And I got thinking about this today, and I wrote down what I call three bullet points where I feel very strongly of. Number one, how lucky everybody sitting in this room and most of you that are listening are to be Christians. Number one, if we were living in Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or pick someplace, the odds are good that we wouldn't be Christian.
Or we'd be persecuted.
Well, either that or you'd be switching. Persecuted. You'd be switching or get killed.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons to say, Lord, thank you. Which brings me to the second point. How lucky, Dan. I mean, here we are. Not only are we Christians, but we're in America.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. Does it get any better than that, Alan, truly?
No, not at all.
It can't be. So then, let's just expand a bit. Now, here we are, four guys and a gorgeous Karen.
He's warming up.
That's it. She's starting to get rowdy these days.
She's starting to blush.
We have the opportunity to not only as professionals make a living doing what we do, but to actually help people. We have the opportunity. Particular radio station, WCNO, has led us to many people that needed help, and we as a group and individually have been able to do some wonderful things for people, and not even from a business standpoint, from a personal standpoint.
Well, Joe, here's the thing. You know as well as I do that at some point in time when we go and we stand before our Maker, he's not going to say to you, now, Joseph, that was a fine little red Mustang convertible you had. I was so impressed. He's not going to say that.
Now, you 100% positive.
Yes, I'm 100% positive he's not going to say that. But he is going to say, hey, what did you do with my blessings? How did you help my creation? So, you know, we have an obligation. It says, you know, like with Cain and Abel, yes, I am my brother's keeper. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, he expects us to, as my dad would say, belly up to the bar and pay the tab. And make sure that you know what you're doing, because, you know, God expects us, those of us that are blessed.
Yes.
Or pay the tab. It's those blessings to help his people.
So it's sort of like, you know, it's planting those seeds of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Here,
and you may not bring the seed to harvest, but, right, you know, you're there along the way. Maybe somebody else will do it, but that's what we all do. You know, my pastor will tell you, we're all pastors. Okay, we all do our thing every day, and we witness every day to people. So this radio station is just a marvelous way to witness to a lot of people all at the same time.
Absolutely.
Which brings me to the reason I brought these points up.
I'm listening, Joseph.
They're trying to raise some money to keep this place in business. When you do a nonprofit, it's a whole different ballgame than a profit station. So these things are operated by donations, by people that appreciate the ministry that this station has been able to give. We appreciate as a group very much that we've been able to do things that are not normal in our normal practices, but because of this station and Pastor Tom, do things that really been able to be very, very blessed. Very blessed. So,
absolutely.
What I'm trying to say is donations. Now, folks, you can call in on the station, 1-888-221-8990. And by the way, class, write that number down. You're supposed to have this by the phone. I'll give you a minute.
Give it again. Give it again.
I'll give you a minute to find a pen. But it should be sitting next to your phone, because we're on every week on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, and you're going to have questions. And if you don't write that number down, you might forget it. And if you're as old as Alan and Dan here,
you're going to forget the
question.
You're
going to forget no matter what.
So you better write it down, too.
You notice how I escaped this time?
I noticed that.
Even though Dan, it's because you're closer to me, and I have fear.
He always tells me how old
I am.
Well,
Joe, you know, it's like this. At my church, the lights have to be on, everything has to be done, and I gladly tithe to my church. Well, the same principle holds true here. This radio station does not just manufacture its own power and everything out of thin air.
Right.
Things have to be done. Most of those things take money. We're not looking for gobs and gobs of money. Listen, I'm the head elder at my church. I've sat
Do
down.
They take the oldest
oh, yes.
guy? Is that
no,
the
not the oldest guy. And I've told the congregation when we have occasional needs for funding, I don't want somebody to come up and write me a check for $100,000. I really don't. I'd rather have every family give a little bit. We'll still make that $100,000 amount, and everyone will feel like they've contributed. And if you enjoy this station, you need to contribute a little bit. Not the big
Does
amount
it need
like
to
you
be
think,
a big amount?
But it needs to be something to keep this thing moving.
That's
by the way, folks, there's another way to do this. Now, even though Dan interrupted me prophetically.
I always interrupt
prophetically,
you,
which was Alan.
It's because you talked too
Alan,
long.
Alan, how come you're not jumping into this thing? Here you're letting us just, and you should know by now that we expect and accept interruption.
Joe, he's leaving it to the professional talker.
We expect. There is also once in a while a little jibe or sarcasm that sneaks out of people in here, Alan. You've not noticed that either, right?
Well, to be honest with you, you gentlemen are doing a wonderful job. As a matter of fact, we'd love to have you come back for the rest of Prayer and Praise time. It would be wonderful. But seriously, one of the things that I think is important is you being here. You all are in the financial business, either in insurance or in real estate or in money management. But many people don't know that the second most talked about topic in the Bible, the first is, of course, the Lord Himself. The second most talked about topic in the Bible is finance. There is more in the Bible about finance in the Bible, marriage or raising children. That's how important God looks at finance and money management. And that's why God has set rules as far as tithing, as far as giving. God doesn't want you to give what you don't have. God wants you to give because you're joyful in giving. It's in your heart, it's in your mind.
And by the way, Mike Paulus just walked in, mortgage broker, and I think we do a sub chapter when we took this out of the Greek in the Bible where it said finance, it said mortgages too.
Is that in the Septuagint?
Well, you have to pay your taxes.
And you have to pay,
and you have to pay your mortgage.
And you have to pay your mortgage, right?
Give unto Caesar, right?
I remember when when I got baptized, our pastor, you know, handsome devil, looks a lot like, well, not really like Dan now that I think of it. Anyway, when I got baptized.
Caller, we need to take this call and see what we've got. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. It's Victoria Lloyd. Well, hey, listen, I'm glad you called in. You know, send money because this is, we're raising money for the station this week. All right, girl. What I did, I picked up the phone rather than putting it on the hold. But Victoria just said she was on her way here, but she got sidetracked.
There's a big traffic jam on
but
Palm
no, but
City
she got
Bridge.
Tracked with a client. Oh. Can we put this on speaker now?
Dead air is bad air, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Not anymore. Are you there? Nope. All right.
Tell her to call back. Here she comes.
Here she comes.
Hello.
Not anymore. I think where we were going, and by the way, folks, write this one down too next to the phone number, WCNO.com. Then you can look up the address, the phone number, the whole thing. You don't have to have a great memory like Dan has. Well, excuse me, like what? Vince. Well, wait a minute, like Mike.
There she comes.
All right, this is Joe Martek again. Is this still Victoria?
Yes, it is.
I
can
hung
you hear
up
me
on
now,
you.
Guys?
Now,
hello,
we, now we can hear you. You got a question for Vince?
Yeah, I do. Oh. Okay, Vince, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I have a client that had a primary residence and his wife passed away, so he moved out and he's been renting it for 6 years.
Right.
So he's been using the depreciation on the home.
Right.
Okay. So somebody said to him, well, you've been depreciating the home for 6 years, so when you go to sell it, you're going to have to pay on the profits from the depreciation depreciating the home for 6 years.
Well, yes, what happens is that the period of time when you're renting the house, it's considered a separate business. It's no longer just your personal residence. It becomes a business. It's a rental property. Now, the portion, it's pro rata, though. You have to go through a calculation. And so you have to prorate the basis and also prorate your proceeds from the sale of the residence and come up with a gain or loss on the, quote, business of the rental property. So, yes, there is a proration, and you have to take into consideration the depreciation because that reduces his cost basis for tax purposes. Since he already took those deductions, IRS won't let you take it again. So what you do is you've got to allocate the basis of the property, meaning what you paid for it and improvements, over the period of time that it was rented, and then subtract the depreciation from that against the sales proceeds, and now you'll get a gain or loss on that rental piece. So it is bifurcated, and you have to bifurcate the transaction.
Now, Vince, the answer is yes, there's
going to gain a loss on that rental.
That monthly income when he files his return as
well, he probably did already. He hopefully he showed that as rental income all along.
Well, if he's depreciating, the odds are real good. He's showing the income and the expenses and the whole thing. So what happens is, Vic, it lowers his cost basis by the depreciation. Now it's no longer a primary residence, so it's subject to a capital gains tax.
Yeah, but only on the prorated piece.
Oh, no, I knew all that.
On the profit.
He would have to
on
pay
the prorated
that, piece. But I didn't know what figure. So if he paid, let's use it's hypothetical, $200,000 for it.
Right.
But he's been depreciating it for 6 years. And with the depreciation value, now he's depreciated down to $75,000.
That's right.
Say.
So that becomes...
So,
well,
but he sells it for $250,000. So is he going to have to pay does he write off any of that $50,000 profit?
Oh, yes, he does. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's two calculations involved, Victoria.
Yeah,
you
okay.
Got to divide up that property between the portion of time that he was... that's what I'm saying. Incidents and the portion of time he used it as a rental property, you need to allocate the basis and the sales proceeds.
Got you. Okay, that's what it... Because, you know, this person had told him, not his accountant, but somebody else had said, oh, you're going to have to pay so much money out, you know, on it because you're only going to be able to use your depreciation value. And I didn't think that was correct.
No, that's
you know,
not so.
We all have neighbors and friends that know more than professionals. I mean, that's you ask your mother-in-law. You know, she knows everything.
They know enough to be dangerous.
You know how many
dangerous.
Times I get these calls from clients who say, I was at a cocktail party last weekend, and I
somebody...
heard that you can do this.
Yeah, but if they do buy another property, then you could do a like-kind exchange and defer that.
Well, 1031 exchange.
You can do a 1031, but remember, you've got a reduced portion. I mean, I don't think the whole house would qualify at that point.
On the 1031 because part of it was primary.
Part of it was primary.
Yeah.
So you'd have to, I'd have to do a little bit more research on that one.
You know, that might be a thing, Mike. You can, on the 10th exchanges, it's like for like. Mm-hmm. So a commercial property, rental property, income property.
Well, I think you can probably do it for any kind of property.
For the apportionment, yeah, you could do it for any kind of property. But if the apportion piece, whatever that is, you could probably roll that over. Yeah. The gain, if there is a gain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but only for that piece.
So would he be better, because he's older, he's in his 80s. So if he's in his 80s now,
he's not
going to
be doing a 1031.
He's not going to be doing.
He's not going to be doing a 1031.
What Victoria, the best thing to do is he's got to talk to an accountant.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, do you think a person like that should really sell his property now before he dies?
Well, that's a very interesting point, because from an estate planning point of view, if he has heirs or beneficiaries that he's thinking about giving this property to, it would be not very wise to sell it now if he's in his 80s. I would suggest he hold on to it, put it in his will or in his trust, that upon his death, that property would then go to the beneficiary. Why? Because at the date of death, he'd get what's called a stepped-up basis in the property. It means the tax cost goes to fair market at that point. So no matter what you paid for the house, the cost basis goes to fair market. So that becomes your tax basis.
Even on an income property?
Okay.
Yes, yeah. It goes up.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's the major thing. Hang on. Don't sell.
Don't sell it. Okay. Tell him not to sell it right now. If he's that old and, no. Of course, nobody knows how long you're going to live, but chances are maybe he's, you know, we're talking 10 or 15 years from now, you know.
And we go through this constantly, Vince, that when a person buys a home and they sell it, okay, but I've had people say, I want to put my kids on the deed or give them the house. And now all of a sudden that creates a whole different tax problem for those children down the road.
You take somebody like this is 80 years old. Who knows? Right. He might have paid $50,000 for this house. Right. It's now worth a quarter of a mil.
Right.
Well, if you deed it to somebody before, you take somebody like this, is inherit, essentially, I say, they step into your shoes with your basis.
Just
so
like
they
your...
become a, that becomes $50,000 to them.
Yeah.
And anything they sell over the 50 is capital gain to them. Now, on the other hand, if they wait till date of death, the property goes up to $250,000. They sell it for $250,000.
No
there's
tax.
No gain and no tax.
What if they made it their primary residence? You could get more than a $250,000 capital gain on
Well, you'd have
term.
To live in it 2 out of 5 years in order for it to qualify.
So I'm just throwing that out. Not to muddy the water, but that's
now,
also
question
an
is, yes. And this is the one I've never thought of. So I have a piece of property. I live in it. I then move out and rent it for 6 years, depreciate it. Then I move back in.
Same thing happens. You've got a proration. You've
for
got a capital.
It's all prorated.
For that period of time, you don't get
it. So no matter what happens, the reality is, in order to avoid tax, hang on to the property, let it go deed when you die, and it's going to step up to the value on that
at the
day.
The date of death,
on the
right.
Day.
There's no avoidance of tax. It's just a matter of how much.
Exactly.
All right.
Hey, Vic, you done with us? Going to step up to the value.
I am. You guys have a wonderful time.
Thanks.
And Mike? Call me later. I got to talk to you about Suzanne. I need her stuff.
Okay.
Thanks.
Nothing new there, Mike.
She's always working.
You thought you'd get
like
away.
Like a hip pocket. She's on.
Like a hip pocket. So we were talking about, you know, Mike, obviously, you know, Pastor Tom has gone through his major traumas.
Yes.
And then today we're raising money because obviously we know, and Dan and Alan and Grince and I were talking about the necessity to keep this place on the air, and you don't pay the light bill and the property taxes and all
that
stuff.
That's why I brought my checkbook with me today.
Very good. Very good. Leave a blank one, trust me.
Well, it won't take you very far.
Anyway, the key that we're talking about, and I was saying to everybody that listens to the show, write the phone number down, 1-888-221-8990, should be sitting right next to the phone, because you should be calling us every week on Wednesday between 4 and 5, because the group 21-899. But if you want to send money and you don't want to talk on the radio, WCNO.com will give you address, phone numbers, give you everything. And hey, $10, $20, $50, nope, it doesn't make any difference. There's no such thing as too little.
Joe, can I ask a question? Because I don't know the answer. What if somebody wanted to make a donation with a credit card? Is that acceptable?
Yeah, Karen, can you make a donation with a credit card?
Yep.
Answer is yes.
There's an answer.
Very good. I think you can use cash money.
I think the government's still making a little.
No more green stamps, though, I don't think, Alan, right?
Just want to say one thing about the credit card donation, that WCNO takes the information on the from the internet, and as soon as that transaction is processed, we get rid of the information that you gave us. In other words, your name, your address, all of that is not sold to anybody. It's gone.
Very good.
And
that's
and
an important
so you have point. You have the security of all of that is that. Really, it's a good way of giving money, because you can also give money by doing a 6 month time frame. Like, say you want to give $600, but you don't have the $600 right now. On the internet, you can $100 a month for 6 months.
Nice.
Set up an automatic payment out of your checking account, savings account, whatever, and that's how it's done. WCNO.com is the website.
So remember that, next to the phone, WCNO.com, and or both, the phone number, 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990.
Oh, I have another question. Let's suppose
I'm... You used to be quiet.
Yes, I'm out there listening, and I hear them say, hey, I can use my credit card, but I got to go online and do that. And I don't have a computer, or I don't feel very comfortable doing it online because I doubt my skills. Can I just call line and do that with the credit card?
Alan, I believe...
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can call in, give the information to one of the callers. And, you know, now we're in the two-week period of prayer and praise time. But anytime you can call the station during normal business hours, and either Tom or Karen or another staff member who might be here volunteering will take your call and the information.
WCNO.com, WCNO.com, or 1-888-221-8990. Well, we started off with Mike, that with Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, part number four member of the team, came in, and Ms. Victoria Lloyd also called in. The only one we're missing today was Greg Fasula, who showed up this morning.
He did.
Yeah, and
that's
we did.
A good thing we don't have enough microphones here.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, you know, now I'm not going to allow to talk politics on the program, so I'm not going to say anything that most of us are conservative, but Greg is not.
Well, tell you, he's a moderate.
He's a moderate, right? Anyway, and his son is an extreme conservative who's 16, so you could see dinners in their house would be interesting, to put it mildly. But what I was starting the show off with, Mike, and then I talked to Tom a few days ago about us coming on the show, and normally we wouldn't because it's their time to raise money, at least 2 weeks. And they have a budget of about $200,000. Am I correct?
Our goal is $195,000 every 6 months.
That's pretty close. So yes. It costs a few bucks to keep the joint in business.
Yes.
And what I was starting off with is how grateful we, me, us, individually and collectively are to have this relationship with WCNO. Part of it's a personal thing, or you, and I know, Mike, you have helped numerous people that you normally wouldn't even contact a normal way of doing business.
Yeah, we were really blessed to try to help a lot of people, all of our listeners, with reverse mortgages.
Contact a normal way of
refinances, and we've given a lot of good advice too, I think.
Yeah, and I know you counsel, because a lot of people don't know this, but you know, when you've bought 10 or 15 houses, you have an idea what to do. But when you're buying your first house, second house, third house, you know, this isn't something you do every day. So finding somebody that can counsel you, help you, maybe you've got a credit problem and they can... Mike might say, okay, fine, we can cure that in 3 or 4 months. Here's how we're going to make a plan to get things done so you can get financed.
Yeah, I just spoke to someone right before coming here, and that's kind of why I was late. You know, we can't help everybody all the time right away, but we can at least set you in the right direction to help you in the future.
Kind of sounds like Dan Warren. Now that I think about that, that's one of his famous lines, you know, and I talk about Dan and what a great job he does for people because, in my opinion, he's the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, even if he is kind of old. But
I'm not as old as you.
I know, but I hate that part.
Nobody's as old as him.
Well, I'm Methuselah.
Wait a minute. I think Alan might be pushing me. Anyway.
I'm not as old as you.
I'm the guest moderator today. He's keeping us in line. Did you know Alan used to be a prosecuting attorney?
I did.
Yeah, do you know that, Mike?
Well, I'm glad I don't know him personally.
I know. You got to be careful. You're sitting closest to him. the thing that I was saying, the parts that literally this experience has been so wonderful, and I think about the things that we take for granted every single day. Number one, the fact that we're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, we didn't do that on purpose, you know.
Yeah, that's not a choice in most countries.
Most countries it's not. In most neighborhoods it's not, you know, and how you're raised.
In some countries.
And then at some point, somebody introduced you firmly, and you became a committed Christian, born-again Christian, whichever way you want to call it. And that's a gift. How about the next gift? We're in America. How can you have the boast of it? We are committed Christians in America. How much luckier do you get than that? I mean,
no, I agree. I mean, we're truly blessed in this country. We have freedoms.
We are committed Christians
there, but I mean, we still have the freedom to
in
worship.
In comparison to so many places, it's unbelievable. And then where I think we take a double, triple-edged sword, especially Vince and I, who have spent a lot of time with Pastor Tom.
Yes.
A lot of time.
Yes.
And the personal admiration we have for him and the dedication, and that man, you know, we sit and Vince and Tom and I will sit and argue religion. Alan, you know, you never argue religion.
I don't argue religion because I am learning. I'm a fairly new Christian yet.
Is that right?
Yes, I was born and raised Jewish and was bar mitzvahed as an Orthodox Jew at the age of 13 back in 1957.
You forgot,
1959, I mean.
You forgot to shave all this time. Well, you're not Hasidic. Excuse me.
So we would call that a perfected Jew.
Yes.
And that's marvelous.
Time.
You know, the thing is that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do not have to renounce your Judaism.
Absolutely
that
not.
I feel that I'm a part of having God's love and experience, life experience within me from the standpoint of I know and have celebrated the Jewish holidays. I know what the Passover Seder is. I know what happens at Hanukkah, but also now accepting Jesus Christ, to me, what better way to honor our Lord Jesus Christ by knowing that Jesus Christ at Passover was at Seder's like I was as a young child,
and
saying
exactly.
The four
same,
questions,
same
which was the youngest child's duty. At the past, as a young child,
you know it's a grateful group here, and I'm just thrilled, Alan, that you happen to be here. You know, coincidentally, because I have tremendous admiration for you and your experience. But we had not talked about that in the past, even though I thought you looked like an old rabbi when I started.
That's a compliment, Alan. That's a compliment.
The emphasis is on the word old.
You know, you haven't noticed how hung up he is on that.
I'm telling you, when you get to be as old as we are, it could be any minute we might not be here. So
we
got to use it the best we can. All we're trying to say is, folks, that we as a group are grateful. I think those of you that have listened to not only our show, but this station and the ministries that come on and the people that volunteer, including people like Alan, to understand this is a magnificent vehicle to help people.
Well, Joe, you know, a lot of times when I am saving people money on their insurance premiums.
Magnificent vehicle.
I saved a guy last year $9,000 on homeowners insurance. And I said, hey, take your wife on a cruise. Okay, she doesn't need to know where the money came from. Take her on a cruise. So I would say the same thing would hold true in this. If you recently had a purchase of something that you saved a good bit of money on, maybe that's the money God wants you to send here.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay. It's the same amount of money. It's just being reallocated. And instead of giving, you know, that $5,000 here, maybe it was only $4,500 this year. Take that extra money and send it over here where it'll do some good.
1-888-221-8990. You can call in, make a pledge. You can call in with a credit card. You also can go WCNO.com. Everything's on there rather than me giving you addresses and mailing and zip codes, which drives me nuts, all this information. Remember the phone number and then WCNO.com.
And I have another question, Joe. Full of questions today. So let's suppose I'm out there listening.
Remember the phone number and Ginkgo Biloba today.
I did, brother. Is this going to be
maybe you should raise his hand when he's going to ask the question.
Is this going to be a tax deduction for me?
Is this?
Yes.
How about the answer is yes?
Well, you haven't said that.
Let's talk to
our
accountant.
I'm trying to pry these things out of you.
We have a CPA here.
Well, I mean, I can't. I do say that they're a 501c3 and the contributions would be deductible.
Now, question is this: how is the rule today on tax on deductions for 501c?
That's just the IRS code.
I know, but what I'm trying to say,
enough.
Once you qualify for that, whether it's your church, this ministry, or whichever, how does that tax deduction work literally?
Well, it normally, and I say normally, only way to take it would be on a itemized, if you itemize your deductions, it's taken on a Schedule A, which you know is the schedule that you deduct things right. like home mortgage interest and your taxes and things like that. That's where you would deduct the contributions to your charitable
organization. How much of the contribution is deducted?
Like home mortgage interest and your income, Joe.
So let's say your gross or your adjusted gross is $100,000.
Well, maximum, usually, depending on the type, it could be up to 50% of your adjusted gross income you can deduct.
Up to 50% you mm-hmm. can have a tax deduction.
Depends on okay. the type of donation. If it's a cash donation, up to 50%.
What if I'm a corporate sponsor, Vince? What if I'm a businessman
They're
out
limited.
There listening to this and
They're
I say,
limited.
You know what? I have money allocated for quote-unquote things like this. How does that work?
It's limited to your percentage of your net income. Okay. Corporations are restricted.
But we love corporate sponsors here, don't we?
Yes, but if you're a larger sponsor, obviously you can contribute much more and get a tax deduction.
Well, again, if you use the example of $100,000, what would that be as a corporate?
Well, I think the I have to check the rule. I think it's 10% of your net income.
Mm-hmm. So
the maximum you could.
But it's still Point is, back again, any business that wants to donate money, one of the questions should be to their CPA, their accountant, to say, hey, what's the right way to do this to benefit both sides? You know, a business that wants to donate money.
And you know, there's also the spiritual value. You understand,
Absolutely.
Mike?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's not all about the tax. It's not all about the tax deductional. That helps.
It doesn't hurt.
But you can sow the seeds.
Well, you know, one word that's been coming up is the word allocation. And I was thinking that really that's what life is all about. We have 24 hours in a day. We have 86,400 seconds in a day. And we have to allocate that time. And part of that time should be allocated to the Lord. As a matter of fact, a lot of time would be better off being allocated to the Lord. But in anything you do, you allocate certain money for food, for clothing, for housing. But also, the Bible talks a lot about investing money. And one of the things that's important is learning how to allocate that money and being a lot about investing and making changes. As one example, when the stock market is not doing so well, it might be wise to have more money in the bond market or in the metals market or in cash. When the stock market is doing very well, you want to have most of your money in that stock market.
Well, see, then I call Mike Paulus because he's a good market timer.
Oh,
I am. I am.
He's got an egg timer. It goes along with.
Got an egg timer.
I have to say that my earnings in the stock market have not been that great.
Well,
but since you have turned me on to some of your investments,
what
it
happens
certainly
is, and this is kind of a thank you, Alan, for setting me up on that, which you didn't even mean to. But if you did mean to, I'm impressed. The key was that what I've been talking to people for the last two and a half years was that the market is full. The market is full. We use a PE ratio, which is currently 18.
Now, there you go again, Joe. You're talking things that some people don't.
The market is full. I was going there.
Well, I'm trying to help you get there quicker.
Okay. You explain it.
Well, all right. So you have a price to earnings, right?
Right.
That's what P&E really means, price
right.
to earnings. So if it's at 10 or better, we consider that a good buy.
10 or lower.
Yeah.
10 or lower.
Lower
right.
means better in my
this
my
is
Southern
good.
Vernacular. That means better. So if it's worse, that means the market, as you say, is maybe full, which in my Southern, I mean it's too expensive.
Exactly.
Okay, so to give example, if they earn a dollar and you're willing to pay up to $10 for that share or
a good
less,
deal.
And that's a good deal. But if they want $20
right.
when they're earning
a
dollar,
that's what Joe's trying to say.
That's
it's 20 up
to
18.
One.
You see,
and that's a whole different story.
I really didn't need you, Dan. I needed Vince.
Well, I know, but between the three of us, we got it done.
But here's the other thing, you know, and he's absolutely right about the PE.
Oh, yeah.
But, and it is full, as you say. But
right.
there's still opportunity.
It's expensive.
Joe,
there's
always.
Well, I saw that today. Goldman Sachs came out with their earnings.
And it is full.
And their PE ratio has to be close to 30.
How about Netflix?
Here's what happens. And I think what you just said, there's companies like Netflix and what's the social media company that's the biggest one going?
Facebook.
I mean, all these things have just been rockets. Now, sometimes you have a genius running these companies or something is good and forget the rules, but you are into a high risk area. You're taking major risk because the numbers don't work. Like Dan and I have talked before, boy, it's real hard to invest in something that doesn't have a house, a basement, a yard, a car.
I like
nothing.
Brick and mortar.
Yeah, doesn't bricks and mortar you can feel and touch and you know you can know. However, that doesn't mean we're right.
No, but, we're all, you know, we're old school, Joe.
Yeah,
a lot of people
old school. But in the meantime, I'm using this PE ratio, 10 being a good number, 1 being the best number, of 18 to 20 where it is now. And I'm saying to my clients, let's just sit around, don't get greedy, make 5 or 6% in a being the best instrument. And it's like going, oh, and, Alan was talking bonds or metals or something. I look at a public utility having a 5% preferred with a call date 2 to 3 to 4 years out is a real strong option for people that might be looking that, you know, making 1% in a bank is about as good as you're going to do today. 1.3 if you're real lucky, I heard yesterday. Anyway, that wasn't the real subject that I wanted to get out. But on the other hand, Alan brought up finances, so I had to bring that in, Alan.
Thank you.
Karen, are you working hard out there? You are? Karen's our moderator, and did she bring us some information that we need
She brought
know?
A question from a caller, and I got to
You want to read that, it?
Read it and see if we can come up with an answer for her. Keep going, Joe.
I'm done.
Oh, you're done?
I'm waiting for your question.
Did you say you were done? I can't believe it.
You're done. Well, we can come up with an answer for her.
One thing I've always been, Alan, is very shy and very quiet. Where's the lightning?
Right.
Where's
that's right. That's right. But what I want to say before I get to Maria's question is I think a lot of people don't give as much as they could, Joe. And I think there's a big reason for that, especially in the world we live in today where people fear the future. They fear for what's going to happen down the road. And they're always doing the what if scenarios in their head. What if I lose my job? What if I can't pay for my bills and I don't have enough money? And I guess the answer to that is if you have faith, the Lord will be taking care of you. Then that should be less of a concern. And so if you have some extra money, then the time to give it would be now when they need it.
Well, Vince, we know that the minute you decide that you're on top of the mountain and all the decisions that you make are yours alone to make, that's when things start to happen. You know, on top of the go into a decision with lots of prayer, you seek God's will. The problem that I have sometimes is this. I struggle between, is that my will that's overriding my mind, or is this really God's prompting me, or is this something I really want and won't let go of? That's what I struggle with a lot. Yeah.
How can you be objective about yourself when you want a new Ford Thunderbird convertible or a Ford Mustang convertible as opposed to a Pinto? I mean, you know, it's pretty hard to be objective there. You can pray all you want, Dan, but God may not look at my cars.
Well, you know what? Here's something else, okay? You got to think about this. We all witness in our own circle, okay? So sometimes, and I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes somebody out there might look at your little Pinto and say, what do you have to offer me in advice? Look what you drive. You drive a Pinto and you live like a pauper, okay? Where somebody else, they may take more credence in what they say if they think that you may have Pinto and you live like a pop. And so, you know, God doesn't judge what you buy. He judges your heart.
So what are you trying to say,
the
Dan?
Mustang the convertible
more,
is looking better.
Bigger, the more materialistic you are,
some people
the
may.
More people think that some you must be smart
some
because you wouldn't
might.
Have all that.
Do you,
stuff,
think,
by the way.
Do you think that's wrong for some
no,
people?
No, for all the years, that's true. I've found that to be true. That's where
people
I think it's
like
a bit
dealing
phony,
with successful
but they
people.
Like dealing with
yeah.
success.
I mean, if I walked in with a three-piece suit, and I'm going to tell you, I used to work for the United States Chamber of Commerce.
We all did.
I wore a three-piece suit every day. And people thought nothing but wisdom came out of my mouth. And that's not true.
This is true. But
then his wife
Absolutely.
Told him, the suit does not
that's
make
right.
you.
Until, until he walked out and pulled out in his Pinto.
That's right.
Then they
that's
were
right.
wondering, what the heck is this three-piece suit
I will tell you,
driving
there's a slew of us sitting here, at least all of us, that grew up in, especially Alan and Dan and Vince and Joe, in a three-piece suit. Life,
absolutely.
Yes. Remember
I did it for
I
many,
even had
many
wing
years.
Tip shoes.
I still wear
I
them.
I did
sometimes.
Too. I still have a pair of wingtips.
And Joe in the three
for my bad feet shoes.
I threw mine right in the trash when I moved to Florida.
Yeah,
I
just, that's exactly where they belong.
It's short sleeve shirts and flip flops for me.
I'm telling you what. Thank you, Lord, for Florida. Isn't that the truth?
You know, part of the problem that we all have is a human failing. Part of our genes are wins versus losses, and a my first stockbroker back in the 60s said something to me that just resonated. It's still today. about the difference between winning and losing. He said, I'm going to show you two portfolios. Portfolio A, you make $100 on 9 straight transactions, and on the 10th transaction, you lose $1,000. Portfolio B, you lose $100 on 9 straight transactions. On the 10th transaction, you make $1,000. Now, which portfolio would you lose on 9 straight? Obviously, B, you made $100 versus losing $100. But yet, what happens is most people go and say, hey, Joe or Vince, I was 9 out of 10 in my portfolio. Yeah. They don't tell you that the bottom line was a loss of $100,
yeah,
where the person who actually manages what God has provided for you well doesn't talk about the fact that his wins or losses, he's just happy to have that $100 profit, and he gives 10% of that to the Lord because he has it.
You know, you're describing a typical gambler, Al. You know?
that first
it's
scenario.
Like they don't remember all the losses, and they make that one big hit, and they think that, okay, this is it. I'm going to repeat this.
You don't often, you know, I'm not a good gambler. I don't even like it. But when I have, I just might as well walk in the door and give him whatever I've got. And just take that.
Well, sort of, yeah.
I'm not a good gambler. Don't
go in there with a stipulated budget and say, when I lose it, I'm done. Yeah. That's my entertainment for the day.
I should just give it to him and not even go in. It's such a waste of my
life. But then you don't have the experience.
God expects you to do things. I mean, in the Bible, it's very specific. There's that parable of the three servants, and the one buries it, and the other does a little bit with it, and the other guy does a lot more with it. Okay, God was very upset with the one who buried it. Okay, God expects you to take your blessings, and even though you may not win all the time, he expects you to at least attempt to make something with what he's given you. And that's the point I think you were trying to make, is
absolutely,
is that we're obligated not just to sit on our blessing and go, it's mine and I'm hoarding
it and I'm taking care of it. Right.
That's not what God wants. God, he wants you to step out, because everything you do helps somebody else. Everything you buy puts somebody to work. Every time you do something. So I have nothing against wealthy people. I have something against wealthy misers who do nothing to work. Every time you but sit on it and think, everybody's trying to take it away from me.
I can't tell you how many situations I've come across in my practice, people making, you know, very good living, large living, and give virtually nothing.
1-888-221-8990. All right, class, remember that number. Now, you're supposed to have written it down next to the phone if you haven't yet. 1-888-221-8990. Now, Vince is on.
Okay, so I have a question here from Maria. I might as well read the question out loud. Maria says her mother's 86 years old. She owns 4 rental homes. I guess that's the mother. Wants to know what her best option is to avoid having to pay capital gains tax. And we just talked about that.
Yeah, repeat
she
that.
Did a 1031 2 years ago. Well, and then her question is, what about holding a mortgage? What about selling it outright or leasing it? Okay. Well, obviously, in terms of the capital gain situation, the best right or leasing to wait until mom passes and then have those homes deeded.
They step up and there's no tax.
Step up and deed them to the children.
At current market value.
Whatever the current is at the date of death. That would be the best option for avoiding the capital gain.
Of course.
Okay. Now, there are other issues with doing that strategy, but without muddying the waters too much. If you don't have a lot of money and you're waiting for you go into a nursing home or something like that, there are other issues there, because if you have too many assets, then they're going to look for you to pay for your own.
Of course.
Your own.
Of course.
So there's that flip side of holding on to it until you die. Okay.
Each of those questions has totally different ramifications. Yeah,
absolutely.
What you want
to
do.
Absolutely right. Like holding the mortgage. Well, holding the mortgage, you're suggesting you're going to sell it. Okay. If you sell it, then you're going to realize those capital gains immediately as soon as you sell the property. So
right.
You're not deferring anything. So holding the mortgage, not necessarily a great option.
Renting, on the other hand.
Second option, at least, as soon as you sell it outright. Well, same thing. If you're holding a mortgage, it means you sold it. So it's sort of the same thing.
Same thing.
The flip side, selling it outright. And then she says leasing it. Well, you can lease it. And I think what she's referring to here is, again, with the nursing home.
Maybe a lease with an option
with
to
a
buy.
Lease, if you lease the house, then under the Medicaid rules, that doesn't count. You can still lease it and give it to your children.
I have a question.
Stay with that subject you just brought up. That's an important one.
But I want to bring Mike into this. How about a reverse mortgage on one of those houses?
Well, if it's an investment property, it's not going to qualify for a reverse mortgage. It can only, if it's your primary residence, then you can get a reverse mortgage. But the ticket here is you have to live in it as your primary residence. And if you vacate the property for more than 1 year, then they can call the loan due.
Yep.
Yeah. So
go back to where what we were just talking about and what you said that last sentence, then, that it's a rare time when it, what we were just talking, this income properties, right? Mm-hmm. And now we can collect the rents, right? We can now sell it at this later date, and it passes to my heirs based on the value. Forget the depreciation, forget all the rest of the stuff that had to be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if mom has these income properties, the next thing that you mentioned was Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Medicaid rules, which is a not known,
that's a whole
different rule, but basically it says if you go in a nursing home, it costs $6,000, $8,000, or $10,000 a month, let's just say, and mom's got $100,000, that money's gone in a real quick time. But if she's got four income producing rental properties, they can be exempt and she can still qualify for Medicaid, which would pay the...
No, what will happen there is that the rents that you're garnishing from those properties would have to be used to pay for her support.
However,
but the question is, later upon death, what happens to the property from those properties to the beneficiaries
there
of the
you
estate?
Go.
So, yes, you can lease it and use that money to pay your Medicaid, because if you don't have any other monies and this is it, that'd be one way. But I would recommend you talk to a
elder law attorney,
an elder law attorney,
sure.
Because that's very,
what if,
it's a touchy subject.
And I know there are many families like this, because I had this situation. Mom comes to live with me. There's never going to be a nursing home involved.
Right.
She's always going to be my responsibility. If I chose that option, how would that modify any of your suggestions? Would the rental be the best way to go?
Yes, if you have no fear of a nursing home scenario down the road,
absolutely.
If you're going to live with your child and they're going to take care of you until you go, then I would say yes, lease it, rent it, do what you can, wait till date of death, pass it to your heirs, and get the step up at that point.
That makes
sense. That would be the right way to go.
And not only that, Dan, then you could be looking
and wait till date of
death. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Once you're still owning the property.
Yep. 1-8. This isn't a subject that comes up very often.
No, I'm glad, and thank you, Maria, for the question. I hope we answered your question. If you have more, then give us a call again or leave us another note, and we'll get back to you.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. You know, I know there's a few loopholes, legal loopholes, that allow a person to go into a nursing home and Medicaid, the government, the state pays, which is perfectly legal, perfectly right. But there's another thing that Dan brought up, and you play accountant on me right now, but now...
I play one on TV.
I know that. I noticed
now
it.
Now on the radio.
Not in real life.
Not on the radio. On the radio, right?
not in real
you're
life.
You're funny looking on the radio. Anyway.
I got a radio face, Joe.
So here comes this person...
Face, Joe.
...and live with Dan instead of going in the nursing home.
This person's his mom or somebody,
right.
Really.
Wow, yeah. Funny, yeah. I should say that.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I think the rules from an accounting standpoint are Dan's allowed to have some income for taking care of somebody. This is called an assisted living.
Yes and no.
That's also a very, very...
What he can do is probably qualify her to be his dependent.
Well, when I did it, I could not.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Rules change.
But rules change. I only threw that out because for me, in my situation, I liked my children being around my parents. I thought it brought quality to my home and to their lives.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, but that, the bottom line is there are no disposable people.
No,
we don't want
no.
to just shuffle them off. I believe as long as you can take care of them, this is just my opinion, you do what you can for your family.
You are old school with that thinking.
But not everybody can. It's another problem.
And I understand
not
that.
Everybody can.
Care of them, this is just my opinion. Everybody wants to do the sacrifice that it takes. How many people want to change a baby's diaper and all the other things, but you think that sacrifice is worth it? I believe in the value of life from cradle to grave.
All I know is when babies had those messy diapers, I sure loved the shower.
Yeah, I sure loved my wife.
But what happens when that involves in-laws, though?
I took care of my in-laws. I took care of my mother. It's not a problem. My father-in-law.
And if they have a big portfolio, it doesn't matter. My only teasing, I don't mean that.
Some mother-in-laws are better than others. The ones that have money are much better than the ones that don't.
Hey, the only issue I had was with my father-in-law. He started eloping, in other words, running away. And he had Alzheimer's. And we knew at that time we could no longer keep him at the house because it was not safe for him. Mm-hmm. So I put him in a facility, and it was a good decision.
There's some assisted livings, and I had a lady I took care of for 10 years, and I went through four different facilities before I found...
It was a good decision.
And it was a couple that were licensed as an AC, an adult living facility, and I got them what I called all their inmates from my client base people, and every one of these people wasn't all Alzheimer's, but dementia. They just couldn't be left alone. And I'll tell you, it's one of these lessons in life that I don't think there's courses on this stuff. You have to live through it, and when you do, it's too late to teach it, I think, but it's one of those facts of life.
If I can make one point here, Joe, because it was said, I had a client about a year ago, came to me, exact situation. The kids were trying to get the parent into the nursing home, and she had this house and hadn't done anything with it. And, you know, at that late stage, this you can do late stage planning, but not when you're at the point when you're going into the nursing home.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Too late at
right,
that point.
Right.
You need to back it up 5 years or more and do your planning.
Have a game plan.
Exactly.
But how about if there's no equity in the property that they own?
To back it up 5 years.
Would you have to document that?
I would imagine that they do their own research, the state on the Medicaid.
But houses,
if there's no equity in the house, then...
But your primary residence is exempt. In Florida, from Medicaid standpoint, your primary residence...
It only applies to investment
properties.
Is there a limit to the value of your primary residence?
I don't know.
I'm not quite sure on that, but I don't think it's totally excluded either. If that property is in your name and you have to go into a nursing home,
the homestead is
a homestead. That's my point. The homestead.
People move down here from Florida to hide money in
of
their homestead
they do.
All the
of course
time.
They
but here's the problem.
It's not attachable.
Here's the problem. When you leave that residence and go to a nursing home, there comes a point in time where it's no longer your residence.
So here's my question then. So I have my son.
But this also called Medicaid planning.
And I say, son, the law says I can only be gone so long. Let's say it's 90 days, son.
But this also
say a year.
A year. On the 364th day, son, we have to go back for a day. Or is there a limit? I'm not trying to scam the system, but I'm just trying to say, if they're going to put that burden on me, how can I roll it back?
That's the rule for reverse mortgages, so...
You got to be really. A lot of it comes down to Dan is the doctor. Your doctor's evaluation of the likelihood that you're going to be returning home. So it depends on the health of the person.
Depends on my relationship with my doctor.
Relationship with the doctor.
Here comes a legal thing, also called a trust, where you start to get a CPA and an attorney involved in what they call Medicaid planning. And when you get I know about the income producings. There was another rule that, let's say, a husband and wife had a CD for $100,000 in both their name. It could be taken out of the name of the person going in the nursing home as long as the other person set up a pension with that took at least 5 years to pay back. Then it became of the name of the person going in the law that was, hey, perfectly fine.
But you got to be careful with the trust too, Joe, because there is now, for many years now, they have a look-back period,
of course.
And the look-back is 5 years.
I understand.
So what we try to encourage people in terms of elder care planning is maybe start incorporating maybe an insurance policy that would cover you for the first 5 years of your incapacity.
Sure.
So you could eliminate your estate.
You could eliminate the estate not have anything in the look-back period for them to take.
And so speaking of long-term care insurance, one of the problems, and Dan, you and I run into it regularly, somebody that's 80 years old in terrible health says, what about long-term care insurance? And I said, well, if you could get it, it only costs about $20,000 a year now.
That's cheap.
If you could get it.
If you could get it. The premiums are so high, but if you get it when you're 50, 55, and in good health, you have a whole different...
And when you're 50, you're thinking, I'm going on a cruise. I don't need that.
Listen, right. I'm not necessarily advocating, but... As we start to talk about legal and
you're thinking I'm going on a cruise
paid planning, I think people that have this foresight, I admire them because it's not an easy thing to do.
Now, well, yeah.
Florida does have this rule, Joe, and I'm probably going to butcher it up a little bit, But basically what they said is, if you bought a certain amount of long-term health care, you don't have to bankrupt yourself down to zero. Okay, if you bought a certain amount, you only got to spend your estate down to X, depending on what size policy you bought.
Yep.
So it was designed to keep people from having to bankrupt themselves to get help. Because I hate for my government to help newly arrived people, and those senior citizens that we have to bankrupt themselves for any help. You know, there's some things in there that were positive, but most people don't even know those things exist.
Yeah, that gets into sort of into the political arena, because that's what we've got going on now.
Yeah.
When the state of California wants to bring everybody into Obamacare.
Obamacare.
Not the political arena, because as well as
1-888-221-8990. Anybody wants to think about giving some money to WCNO, this is a good thing. It's a good time. Karen's here. She's got her hands ready. The pen's ready. She got the signs ready.
You can see she's got her hand ready.
She's ready.
She's got the pen in hand and all.
Also, WCNO.com. WCNO.com. That website will give you phone numbers, addresses, everything you need to know. What do you think, Karen? How much time we have? She's flashing. Which
card? 3 minutes.
She's
probably
looking. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
She's under pressure.
She's under pressure. I mean, counting to five is tough.
Oh,
2 minutes. There you go. I won that one.
Alan, you know, you're supposed to be in charge here. Can't you can make sure that...
I just want to thank you for letting me sit in with you. And this has been a learning experience. I just want topics that you discussed, a lot of information. But I learned one thing as an attorney today, and that
now, see, on top of being a prosecuting attorney, then he wears another hat called regular attorney.
Yeah.
But also he was is a stockbroker.
Yes.
Come on, go ahead.
Well, the one thing I learned is that attorneys aren't the only ones who use words that most people don't understand. Vince here, as a CPA, used the wonderful word bifurcated.
That's right.
I'd like to know the percentage of people that actually know what that word means.
Yes. Yeah, that's dividing in two. That's right. Bi is two.
Bifurcated. Very good. Now we cleared that up.
But what if you have five toes?
I'm sorry.
That's bifurcated.
That happens to me. I can't help myself.
He loves when you get these words, they come. You remember, what's the word, segue?
Yes.
I mean, that word is wrong.
That happens to me. I can't
ever use it.
No. Well, it's an industry jargon. We use it all the time, so we think everybody knows it.
Yeah.
And they don't.
As we go, are there any words in the mortgage business that anybody cares about, Mike?
No.
No.
No, we have lots of terms, and even we don't even understand what they say.
Isn't that? Okay, well, this is the bifurcated or fifurcated.
It's bifurcated.
This is definitely bifurcated.
Bifurcated plus Karen saying, how do you say sixpurcated? Just like I did.
Oh, yeah.
I guess. But can we do it in Spanish? It sounds better. Un, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco.
Cease-forcated. Yeah.
Whatever.
They're going to tell you to cease in a minute.
Cease and desist.
Cease and desist. Get
all right, people. Some prayers for Pastor Tom would be a good idea, number one. Number two,
we all pray for him.
If you can find a way in your heart to give some money to this station, to this whole system, which has done such a wonderful thing for people, a way in your heart to give. So we really, really appreciate it. And Karen's sitting there with bated breath and a pen waiting for it. So, hey, any way you can, we sure appreciate it. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I guess we got very few phone calls today, but that does happen on occasion. And until next week.
Bye-bye, folks.
Yes,
we're going to say, Karen, can we say goodbye now? Or do we have to wait 4 more seconds?
Goodbye, and God bless you all.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a question to purchase or securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.